Alexandria Goldstein, who's been a caller, right?
I'm a listener and a caller, yes.
But tonight you're a guest, okay?
Yes, and I very much appreciate the invitation.
Before we start, are you a registered nurse?
I am.
Okay. There's something that I knew nothing about. I had to research it, thanks to you. And it's something called the Tremor Action Network. We're going to be talking about tremors, but a particular kind. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about something called essential tremor. And essential simply means we don't know exactly where it comes from. But essential tremor is a chronic progressive neurological disorder that can occur at any age, including birth, and affects males and females equally. Probably the most famous example I can give you of someone who had essential tremor is the late actress Katharine Hepburn.
Now, many people know the symptoms of, say, Parkinson's disease. Is this something apart from that?
This is something that is different from Parkinson's disease. Essential tremor is shaking movements that can affect the head, the voice, the arms, the hands, or the legs. It's a condition that tends to run in families. It seems that at least 50% of people who have it have a family member with it. And these tremors can interfere with fine motor skills such as writing or picking up a glass to drink. Some people with essential tremor have a tremor of the head or a quivering voice. And tremors can range from mild in one individual to severe and disabling in another individual, and it can really impact one's quality of life.
Andrea, is it a progressive illness? In other words, if you have tremors, will they get worse, or can they remain sort of in place for a long period of time?
They can remain in place for a long time, but it is considered a chronic progressive disorder. But people can go for, 5, 10, 15, 20 years before they notice a difference. Some people will stay pretty stable throughout life.
What's your connection to all of this?
I have essential tremor. It happens to run in my family. And I got involved with the Tremor Action Network because I would very much like to find a cure for it, and it is very, very much understudied, and we are an all-volunteer organization, and we're dedicated to spreading awareness of essential tremor by advocating for a cure through research. Our motto is shaking the world to find a cure.
That's great. By the way, if you folks would like to join me now, and if you have anybody in your family or you yourself are questioning a condition that you may not even have a name for, give us a call. Andrea is a registered nurse. She's dealing with essential tremor in her own life, and she's dynamo. She wants to get information out there. We'll give you the website and other information in a sec. 617-254-1030. Now, there's no known cure at present, but where does the research exist right now? I mean, are they looking at genes? Are they looking at DNA? How deep is the research?
There are several research programs going on right now, and one of them is actually being conducted by Boston Life Sciences. And their project or their clinical trial is designed to differentiate Parkinson tremor from non-Parkinson tremor. And I can share their telephone number for the listeners. They have places throughout the country, medical centers, where they're conducting this research. And get out your pens, folks, because the telephone number is 617-425-0200. There are also studies going on, one in New York and one through Duke University, and you can find information about those on our website, which is www.tremoractiononeword.org. And we also have a couple phone numbers, so we'll get the writing out of the way. 510-681-6565 or 925-462-0111.
Right, I've got all these numbers, so folks, if you missed them and you want information, just contact me. You know how to do that, and I'll make sure you get it. Now, how has this affected your life, Andrea? When did you first encounter this condition?
In all honesty, Jordan, I believe I probably had it when I was in my early 20s and never really realized what some of my symptoms were. Doctors often trivialize people who come in and say that they're shaking, and they tell them that they are nervous. And that was one of the things that I was told, because my hands were a little shaky. I felt a little shaky. The lifespan in people with essential tremor is not affected, but it can have a profound effect on quality of life. In my case right now, I'm actually relatively stable. I do take some medication for it, and people need to understand that because we don't know what causes essential tremor, we can't target medications for it like we can with Parkinson's, where we know that the problem is a loss of dopamine, and so we're able to add back the dopamine through medication. Since we don't know that with essential tremor, basically what doctors do is try to slow down our central nervous system with anti-seizure medications, central nervous depressants, or in very extreme cases, there is something called a deep brain stimulation. It's the same thing that Michael J. Fox had for his Parkinson's, and it's actually implanted into the brain, and then you're programmed kind of electronically with a little computer that turns the tremor off. But that's only for people with very severe disease.
Sure. Now, Andrea, you are a registered nurse. How has this affected your work, if at all?
I actually don't do clinical work right now. I did research for a long time, and now I'm involved with some other things. But certainly, if I continued to progress, I would think that things like giving injections, drawing up medication, those things would become difficult. People who are artists, people who put small parts together, those kinds of functions can definitely be affected by this. And so this can result in a loss of employment, the need to change employment. And since essential tremor can affect someone at any age, we're not just talking about the elderly people that you see whose heads are kind of shaking back and forth, or whose hands are shaking. We can be talking about 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds, so that oftentimes essential tremor can change one's life trajectory because they want to go into a particular field or are in a particular field and find that they can no longer do that.
Not only that, but I imagine the emotional toll it takes. With any physical condition, there is an emotional component. And I know that people who suffer from and deal with Parkinson's disease have a real challenge, and it's in different degrees, but it's not only dealing with your own physical issue, but how people react to you, and that's always bugged me, how people react to others, whether they be blind or have some kind of impairment. And I know that maybe you can talk about your own life. I mean, what has that done? I mean, how has it affected you emotionally, knowing that you have this condition?
When I first got an actual medical diagnosis, I was relieved that I didn't have some sort of a degenerative brain disease that was going to kill me, so that was the good news.
Right.
The bad news was worrying about the uncertainties of what might happen to me down the road.
Sure.
I have a 92-year-old uncle and a 94-year-old aunt who have had tremor for probably several decades, and I know that my uncle is badly affected by it in that he can't cut his food, he can't eat, he can't button his shirt. So you can't help but worry about that. But, you know, Jordan, in life there are all kinds of trials people have to deal with, and I'm healthy right now. And therefore, I've decided I'm going to live right now, and I can't really worry about what's going to happen 30 years from now. But We're shaking the world for cure, so
indeed,
if we can get enough people interested, for example, there's a brain bank that a doctor has in New York, and if we can get people to donate their brains, and I know it's a kind of thing people don't like to talk about and they feel a little squeamish about, but if we can find out where essential tremor originates in the brain, then we might not only be able to find ways find medications to help us, but it may someday be something that stem cell research can cure. We don't know that yet.
617-254-1030, contact number here. Let's say hello to Dave in the car who might have a question or comment for Andrea. Hi, Dave. You're on WBZ.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just have a related kind of question. I've been diagnosed with cervical stenosis recently, and which is degenerative disc disease. And I'm curious if, I mean, I have problems holding things, multiple things in my hands and such. I drop a lot of stuff now from the shaking in my hands. Could these kind of traumatic experiences or things that happen in the spine cause this type of disease that you guys are talking about? Can it spawn these kind of things?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I need to tell you that. But as far as I know, there's not a connection. But that's the kind of thing that you should discuss with your neurologist, which hopefully you have a neurologist, or a movement disorder specialist. And people who have things like essential tremor and Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis often seek the help of a neurologist who has a specialty in movement disorders. So it might be something you want to consider.
And by the way, you might want to check out the website anyway, because there may be some information here that can help you. It's tremoraction.org. Okay,
great.
One word. And good luck, Dave. Really appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Interesting little note here on the website. Some of the famous people who have had or deal with essential tremor. You mentioned Katharine Hepburn, obviously. Sandra Day O'Connor, the chief of the Supreme Court Justice. Eugene O'Neill. Oliver Cromwell, Robert Byrd, the senator. Sam Adams and John Quincy Adams, to name but a few.
Yes, we have some very illustrious company.
Well, I would imagine that more and more, I mean, a lot of people would assume with an older American or anyone older that it's simply old age, but old age doesn't necessarily mean you have to have, you have to shake.
No, and actually, with essential tremor, there are actually two ages of, like, occurrence, peak occurrence. One of them is age 20 and another one is age 50, so that while you can have it at any time, more cases seem to be diagnosed at those ages. So you can see that this really, it's really a disease that spans the lifespan, but people often equate it with people who are elderly, and in fact, people who are elderly may very well have had it when they were in their 40s and 50s, but it wasn't really enough to notice.
Well, Andrea, I wish you, because I think you're great, you call often, and you're a great listener, I wish you and everyone out there the best with this condition. We have to get together and spread the word that there is an organization, there's help, there's information. We'll do it again, if you'd be so kind. I'll mention the website, tremoraction.org. But give me that those phone numbers one more time.
Sure. 510-681-6565 or 925-462-0111. And, Jordan, I want to thank you very much. I'd be happy to do this again down the line. If I hear of different research or anything new, I'll be certain to get in touch with you.
Well, you know where to reach me.
I sure do.
And we know how to reach you now, and I really thank you. And thank you, Andrea.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. That's Andrea from Canton, actually a listener and a caller on a regular occasion. We turned her into a real guest this time. Her name is Andrea Goldstein, and she suffers from, or I shouldn't say suffers, she deals with essential tremor, and she's doing well with it, and other people are maybe not doing quite as well, but again, tremoraction.org is a terrific website. You can check that out. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have open lines.